Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris going full tilt horny on Maine.
Okay, I want to hear. So when you say full tilt horny on Maine.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some context on this.
Really? I just thought I'd let it sit there and no, would move on to another topic. Hey, guys, remember the Sega Genesis? No. What Sega Genesis games did you have?
Yeah, flashback. But what, Jordan?
Yeah.
I remember the main.
Right? Of course. Well, we all remember the main. Because President Roosevelt asked us to?
I don't know. Can I tell you the other day I was hanging out with our friend Elliot Kalin from the Flophouse?
Sure.
And I had given him a box of... Okay, fine. Our guest from Television's The Unicorn, Network Television's The Unicorn, mm-hmm. Jordan. This is a real star.
Mm-hmm.
From HBO's Ballers, from the television program Ballers on the HBO network. Looking great in a pink polo shirt.
Yeah.
Rob Corddry.
Thank you.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, and thank you for introducing me, because if you're talking about Elliot Kalin, you can't. I have to be involved in this conversation.
Yeah.
I can't let you guys mess this up.
I brought a box of...
So I maybe want to just get a little context.
Yeah.
Because, I know that... So you worked on The Daily Show for a bit. I don't know if you overlapped with Elliot Kalin or not.
Almost every year I was on. He came in, I think, the year I did, or maybe the year after.
Uh-huh. Like most people in show business, Elliot started as a... production assistant or an intern or something, and eventually became head writer of the same show that he worked on for like 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a success story, a real success story.
So I do know that John Hodgman has a fake antagonistic / real antagonistic relationship with Elliot, where he nerd shames him.
Yeah, I think it's fair to characterize that relationship as a joke that Hodgman started doing, then started enjoying doing too much. Until he was really making Elliot feel
really,
bad.
That really feeling it.
Do you two have a complicated dynamic?
With Elliot, I always feel like I just want to gather him up in my arms when I see him. Because I feel very, very, and there's no reason for me to anymore, like a fatherly.
Sure.
I feel fatherly, totally unearned.
Yep.
I did nothing for the guy.
You're like, this probably won't work, but let's try and breastfeed you.
I just
Elliot
love
has how's your two latch? Children of his own now.
How's your latch?
Everybody loved Elliot at The Daily Show. He was everybody's favorite PA. He was obviously smart, which resonates there, of course. And he was always down there just talking to everybody, just very confident, which he doesn't appear confident on that would not be your.
He's such a slight man.
Exactly.
He's small of build.
Yeah. And like Hodgman says, a fucking nerd.
Yo, power nerd.
You'd think maybe there's a little Asperger's or something thrown in there, but no, the guy is on it. And Jon Stewart loved him too. Jon Stewart likes to throw a football before he goes out at The Daily Show.
Oh.
That's the one job Elliot couldn't do.
He just picks a person to hurl a football to?
Yeah. Usually he, might be the same guy for a while, and then a new intern comes in who looks kind of bro-y, and he's like, boy, this guy looks like he can catch and throw a football. 6 feet in a hallway.
Yeah, I think my relationship with Elliot is defined by, we have children about the same age. We live not that far from each other, so we're great friends.
Yeah.
But the edges of it are defined by me saying one word about sports or him saying the name of a second or third tier Spider-Man villain. And just both of our eyes cross immediately.
I'm the glue. I'm the glue. I should hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
I speak both sports and super nerd.
So what happened with Elliot Kalin, and I want to get back into what happened to you on the main.
You know, in a lot of ways.
You were, by the way, remind us, just because we got on a lot of tracks there, that this was you were... super horny.
Well, I was going full tilt horny on Maine.
Horny on Maine.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get to it. Just, just everybody keep that.
Because I have problems.
Keep
with this.
That in your pouch.
The Jordan Jesse Go is like a Nautilus shell. We get to the center of the matter eventually.
Right. Yeah. So, and in a lot of ways, when it comes to the Sinister Six, isn't the Vulture kind of the Joe Montana?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yes, that's a really good point, because they both wear Skechers shape-ups.
Right. Tight buns on that Vulture.
All right, you can hang out with them.
Yes. I don't have to. I'm busy.
I
got a lot of shit to do.
I was at the flea market, and I bought a cigar box full of plastic presidents. Mm. You know, as one does one is at the flea market. Yeah. You find one, you buy it.
Browsing.
You know, the time to buy it's when you see it. And I texted a picture of these presidents to Elliot. I said, Elliot, you need these presidents? Mm-hmm. He said, yes, of course I do. So I brought them to him at the pool on Sunday this past weekend. And
that'd be kind of a fun activity. You know how, you know, like when you're doing a YMCA birthday party,
yeah,
dad throws in a handful of pennies. The kids all dive for the pennies. Sure. That's your activity for the day.
Yeah.
Dive for presidents.
Dive for presidents. Diving for presidents.
I got Grover Cleveland.
So Elliot's showing Sammy, his son, the different presidents. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, he's showing me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not familiar with
the
presidents.
Oh, the whole era, like before and after Lincoln, is just a swamp.
Yeah, like right. Yeah, sure. Between Lincoln and Clinton.
Zero idea what's going there.
The mutton chops era.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at these guys and their chops.
Was J.P. Morgan president? I don't know.
Like all the bad ones.
Yeah.
That's why Lincoln was known as such a good president, because he was just smack dab in the middle of the crappiest ones ever.
Yeah. Just a real raft of garbage.
Oh, yeah.
It is funny. Yeah, it is funny that, like, you know, and I feel like kind of a comedy fellas from our generation love like obscure president humor, like a lot of
some of them do.
There's a lot of like Taft sketches that probably went on at UCB between 2006 and 2010.
Everybody had their Taft sketch.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You have to have your Taft chunk.
Elephant Larry had a great Taft Shaft parody.
Yeah, so they think these were, sure. it's right there. But yeah, it's like these, you know, they were kind of just these kind of random punchlines for old timiness, but these were probably evil men.
Yeah.
These were probably monsters.
Yeah, when I say they were a raft of garbage, it was a gilded raft of garbage.
They had
stolen money from the state.
Oh, God, yeah.
They were busy murdering native people and
gambling away White House china.
Truly bad people.
Giving their inauguration address drunk. That was
sure. They were probably all drunk all the time.
Yeah.
And on opium.
Many of them, their wives were the real president because they were too drunk.
Yes.
That was a big thing that was going on.
From the beginning on.
Yeah.
I'd say from Martha on up.
Yeah.
You know.
So Elliot is taking out the presidents. Oh, this is Abraham Lincoln. This is Franklin Roosevelt.
Well, Martha liked to blaze a dupe, though.
That's
come
true.
On. Oh, she knew how to chill. She knew how to relax.
So Franklin Roosevelt's wearing a cape, by the way, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He'll probably be our last cape president. Although if Trump wins a second term.
Sure, yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Or I think when America gets its first drama club president.
Yeah.
I wore this cape to ninth grade, and I'm wearing it to my inauguration. Old Man River.
So he pulls out, I believe it was Franklin Pierce,
mm-hmm.
and he says to Sammy, his wonderful five-year-old son, mm-hmm. this child characterized by the most delightful demeanor mm-hmm. any child could have. Relaxed, positive kid. Just a delightful kid, willing to tolerate all of Elliot's bullshit, like watching all the Marx Brothers movies in order and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Which is wonderful. I think it's so great that they share those things. He pulls out Franklin Pierce. He says, "This is Franklin Pierce. He was the handsomest and in many ways saddest president."
Wow.
Wow.
And I was like, "Elliot, I can tell that you want to tell the story of Franklin Pierce." And, you know, the best part about being friends with Elliot is when he wants to tell you that story, he'll probably know a lot of good stuff about it. He'll probably add some funny details.
It's not going to be a bad story.
Yeah, it'll be pretty great. It's worth listening.
Yeah, so that was a good preface.
Everyone should look up the story of Franklin Pierce. We'll have Elliot tell it the next time he's on Jordan Jesse Go.
Sure.
I don't want to sell a second rate half remembered
version.
But it involves, needless to say, it involves the back of his child's head being sliced off in a train accident.
Mm, the back, though?
Just the back.
Okay.
So come
but
on,
that's
all
good
right.
enough.
Yeah.
That's good enough for a whittle spill. You know. And then later on, him being super ripped but super drunk because he became an alcoholic, lonely farmer.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
later on in life. A 60-year-old man in extraordinary physical condition except for being a debilitating alcoholic.
Wow.
Rob, have you ever, on the topic of trying to, you know, watch all the Marx Brothers movies with your kids, have you ever tried to get your kids into a thing? Have you ever tried to, like, play them a song you loved or make them sit down and watch Battlestar Galactica or something?
Not so much the watching, definitely the listening.
Yeah.
The watching is starting now.
Okay.
Now that my kids, my daughter's 13 and my youngest one is almost 11.
You're in the window.
Yeah, you've got
18 months before they start hating you.
Yes, because exactly. So I got to show them all the greatest movies, all my favorite movies now before they stop listening to me. But like we tried to push this too early, too. Like, we showed them Star Wars when they were way too young because I was just a little overeager.
Sure.
And, you know, the aunt and uncle were burning outside the hut Tatooine, and they were out.
I bet, yeah.
I was like, I made a mistake.
There's some grim stuff you just kind of forget about a little bit.
Yeah, I made a mistake. And then Goonies, too. They were pretty young. Great movie, but scary as hell.
Yeah.
And every other word is a curse word, which is fine now at their age. It's not, they're just
probably
words.
Maybe a couple
of
casual slurs, too, that you could say in the 80s.
No, a blatantly racist character.
You're at the video store like, do you have the Good News Bears?
Yeah, that movie I don't think is,
I think that's been officially canceled. I think that's done.
Yeah, a lot of the movies we got to, like, you might be due for a screening before because, you forget.
Like, you're like, if we're going to do Walter Matthau, could we maybe do Hopscotch?
I know.
I see you have Teen Wolf. Do you have Woke Wolf?
Yeah.
But with music, like, I got them into the Beatles earlier, expressly because this I knew is a foundation for liking good music.
And who are the Beatles?
Okay, so I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I was going to try and fake it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you know, Jordan?
You know, I'm more of a... No, I can't. I was just going to try and fake it, too.
I think it's like Mick...
No.
Mick Jagger.
Yeah, no, you're right. But it's not... It's
Mick Jagger.
Mick Fleetwood.
Mick Fleetwood. Pete Townsend.
Andrew Johnson.
And Franklin Pierce.
Right.
He was the cute one.
Oh, right. The cute and sad one.
He was the old cute John Lennon.
They got into it. They responded.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And now they like good music. They love the Cars. My daughter, my youngest, is like a shredder.
Really?
Oh, she loves the guitar.
A real buckethead type.
Loves a bucket. The guy that wears the bucket on his head?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's how we got the name Buckethead.
Okay, yeah.
So, he replaced Axl and Rolly in the Guns N' Roses for a while.
Yes, she is like that except without the bucket.
Right, yeah.
On it. So I guess nothing like Buckethead.
Yeah.
But she's into like, 70s, 80s, like hard rock that have those really indulgent solos, and she's good at it.
Kids need to learn about shredding. These days, nobody shreds anymore. You know,
it's not about four chords and the truth anymore.
Sure, yeah,
it's about getting up and down that neck.
Got to get up and down that neck.
You got to have a good cut.
Your daughter plays guitar herself and shreds. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Jordan. Our generation grew up with shredding heroes, not just Yngwie Malmsteen.
Right.
But also consider Bart Simpson. He always has table.
Right. That's a reference to last week's podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to fake it again.
My son, my son declared that, Bart Simpson always has a table, and it took about 5 minutes, but we figured out he was referring to the skateboard.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. So your son's not as smart as Elliot's son?
My son's a little stiff-minded.
Stiff-minded. It's interesting your daughter got into the Cars maybe close to Rick Ocasek dying.
Well, that's always the case.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. Like, let pop culture drive their love for anything. That's fine. Like, the movie about Queen came out, and now every child their age thinks Queen is this, new pop band.
Yeah.
And fine.
That happened to me, to our generation, when Wayne's World came out.
Oh,
I definitely ran out and bought both Queen's greatest hits,
Queen's
and classic Queen.
Queen's been pretty savvy, huh, with the rebirths.
Yeah. You wait a couple years, and then you, you know, die.
Yeah.
Then you...
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Then they roll that rock back.
Yeah.
And you're reborn.
Sure.
So, but then they don't yet enjoy the kind of music that was my favorite music, you know, like... 90s indie rock is probably going to be a later thing I introduce when they start wearing a lot of black and like
when they go off to college, you give them that copy of Dr. Seuss's Oh the Places You'll Go, and then Superchunk's On the Mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Guided by voices Mag Earwig.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah.
Here, this will serve you well.
Right.
I think a lot of colleges these days will do one class that everyone in the university takes as a freshman, so everyone has a shared grounding in the GBV oeuvre.
Right.
Yes.
So there's a lot of songs. There's a lot of albums, and if you don't know which ones, it's like you get lost in that catalog.
No, it's an exhaustive discipline.
Yeah.
There's a whole grad study at UMass Amherst dedicated to Guided by Voices.
It's also a really useful guide for like a lot of 18-year-olds. They don't really know how to binge drink. Learning more and more about Guided by Voices.
Right. And how to smoke on stage.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, man. Rock stars.
You're going to try and do movies again after a stutter start with Star Wars.
Yeah, no. Now we've been on a steady movie, like Ferris Bueller. I'm going to blank on these movies, but the standards.
We've been
Stand By Me was a great one.
Oh, does that hold up?
It absolutely does.
I watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High not very long ago, and it does have a little bit of maybe marginally culturally retrograde stuff in it, but it is a really good movie. Like it is really funny and really well made.
Is there anything for us? Sure, like it's going to hold up, but is any because there's also
there's
like
basically horny stuff in it. I would say
that's
the main
fine,
thing.
But is there value in it for kids? Like, are kids going to appreciate Fast Times in the way that we?
I mean, it's about the actual emotional lives of teenagers in a way that very few teen films are.
Oh, it really was. Now that I think about it, with there was a what's his name, the best friend kind of talker.
Yeah,
you know who. And Jennifer
Jason
Leigh.
They're called actors or characters.
I just call them talkers. The talker number. Who's talking? It's like talker number three.
Camera talker.
Yeah, talker number three.
Talks while camera is on.
Are you speaking sequentially, like the third person to speak in the film?
The third person to speak. Yeah.
I couldn't tell
and
you
he's talking
that
to
is.
Number four,
okay,
actually. He just speaks.
Right.
Do you think Tom Cruise will ever get that best talker Oscar?
I don't know.
I mean, he's just been a star for so long, and you think this guy's probably won best talker. Yeah. And
the
then
guy's
you look
elocution
on IMDb.
Is superb.
He's been nominated. Yeah.
I've never gotten better than talker number seven. It's a comfortable place, though. Talker seven.
It's a solid. If you can be the best friend talker.
Oh yeah.
If you can be the handsome but not too handsome talker.
I actually have not acted in a while, but I had a little period where I got cast in a couple of things, but it was always five talks or less.
I know.
Oh yeah, it's a different rate. Yeah. Different rate for that.
I mean, what you were about two steps. Mm-hmm. I think you could have done it, but you were about two steps from reaching Rob's level, which is talking to the Rock.
God, I would love to rock talk.
Yeah. Rock talk. Yeah.
I'd love to talk to Walton Goggins just one time. One time with Goggins.
You have one degree of separation to Goggins.
I saw Goggins
adjacent right now.
Oh,
I saw
like
Goggins at the Grove once. I should have talked to him.
Oh, you should have talked to Goggins at the Grove.
Talk to Goggins, man.
Yeah, hey.
Listen, all listeners, I implore you. Walton Goggins is very accessible.
Yeah.
No matter if he's with his family.
Get at
or
him.
It may be like he's crying or something. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Talk.
Go up to him and tell him how you feel, whether
talk
it be
Goggins.
Positive or negative.
He needs feedback.
He wants and loves your feedback.
And he likes it when you pronounce his name Googans. It's funny for him.
You know what else? And I'll give you an inside track. He loves like little shoves.
Oh, yeah. So if you see him in the street.
Just give him a little shove. Not
shove.
Not anything too aggressive, but aggressive nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rob, you are a co-star on the new show, The Unicorn, that stars Walton Goggins.
That's right.
And the guy who played Walton Goggins' dad on Justified lives a few houses down from me. So we're pretty much at the same point in show business.
Yeah. I mean, I think you go through me mm-hmm. and not the dad
yeah.
if you want Goggins.
Well,
I'll
probably talk. Here's what my plan is.
So
I don't
Hollywood
hear the
now.
Dad that
boy.
Much.
Oh, boy.
But I don't see the dad very often. But his wife walks their dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on a waving basis with her. So I'll probably talk to her. She can talk to the dad from Justified. Justified's only about 5 or 7 years ago
right.
now.
Right.
He'll talk to Goggins for me.
Okay.
Or maybe he'll talk to Oliphant, and Oliphant will
talk to
Goggins.
Probably how it's going
to
go.
Probably going to talk to Oliphant.
It's the old Justified telephone.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's
game.
Way easier than just saying, hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you get Goggins?
The thing is the Justified cast has a pretty well-established phone tree, and I'm not sure whether you guys have your phone tree ready yet at the Unicorn. Still a pretty new show.
No, see, I'm just standing next to him most of the time. That's
right.
The thing.
Yeah.
There's not really
so
much
it
of
would
a
be weird.
You're right.
You're right. It would be weird for him to for you to call
exactly
it, because you're just standing right
I'm
there.
I'm always standing right there.
So I won't ask you. I'll make sure. I'll ask the folks from Justified.
Okay.
Seems too complicated.
I guess that's
Seems
what I was saying.
Just one step.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You don't really want Goggins on this show.
On this show?
Are you afraid of Goggins?
I'm a little. Of course I'm afraid. I watch Justified. Anyone who watched Justified is afraid of Goggins. Goggins is fun, is human and charming on The Unicorn. Which is a very funny family sitcom, but on Justified, he's fucking horrifying.
Yeah, he's terrifying most of the time.
Yeah.
Even when he's being funny, he's terrifying. Like vice principals
Hell
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Gemstones.
Yeah.
He's just these Gemstones. He looks like a... Like the guy, the old man from the Poltergeist movie.
Yeah.
Like, y'all gonna die.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know?
He does. Yes, he does look like he does. His demeanor in those shows is like could kill and not feel bad about it. Like
yes.
could and then like sleep like a baby.
But might be fun to go to like an amusement park with.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe has some ketamine.
Yeah,
on
just to take
on
the
hand
edge off.
On hand.
So Jordan,
yes.
your horniness.
Well, no. So I'm. Listen, I. You guys know this about me.
Okay.
I love language.
Right. And you're a total horn dog.
Well, yeah, I love language and getting it wet.
Sure.
I love a full robust sentence and a wet dick.
That wet dick being mine. Sure.
So I just
there's two things you love. It's the Bard of Avon
mm-hmm.
and Dickin' Down.
And Dickin' Down.
Yeah.
And, yeah, getting balls deep with old Bill Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I was looking through.
You saying there's two things you love to get balls deep with?
Mm-hmm.
William Shakespeare, the original rapper, and
right.
a box?
Hey, man, whatever's on hand. I ain't picky.
Cool.
Is that box wet?
Yeah. I could probably moisten the box myself.
Yeah.
I could either, just apply some ordinary hand lotion. Or,
yeah,
barring that, some jam.
Sure.
Really let that box have it.
What's your preferred, strawberry?
Wait, hey, man, I ain't picky. I think we've established
he
that.
Care,
whatever
man.
Jam's on hand.
Do you know full boysenberry?
Jam is jam, man.
I'll go boysen.
Yeah.
Even though I do consider it an affront to God because it's not a naturally occurring fruit.
Yeah, it's not a real fruit.
Yeah. It was invented at Knott's Scary Farm.
Oh.
I was browsing my Apple News app.
Yeah.
Just between things.
Yeah.
You know, I was browsing it when you browse your app, and I saw a clickbait headline that was so beautiful. Like, you know how they say that, like, cellar door is the most, like, beautiful phrase? Like, it has a musicality to it. I don't know. Someone, this came up in Donnie Darko, which
right.
I have not seen in a while.
So right.
But, yeah, I guess, so, you know, then this, and it really, like, was indicative to me of, like, a kind of, like, internet writing that is so now. And I just thought it was beautiful, and I just wanted to share it with you guys. It's maybe a couple weeks old at this point, but I just want to read it off the phone so I get it perfectly. Because I just saw it during my scroll, and it stuck with me.
God, I'm really excited about this. You know why, Rob?
Yeah.
I love beauty.
Mm.
I just love anticipation.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Both of those are really good.
Yeah. Love. Wait, just don't. It's just like wait a couple seconds.
Anticipation, it's like a jam-covered box with a perfect hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man, like a lingonberry jam, Swedish jam.
Yeah. Well, who invented lingonberries, huh?
Don Six Flags. Who cares, right? Okay.
Go.
I'm going to read this headline. you know you need unique New York. Sorry.
Make sure you're warmed up. Can you do you have your full timbre?
Okay, there it is. Here it is.
Wait. Just want to enjoy the last delicious second
Bobby
of anticipation. All right, go. I'm ready.
Frankie Muniz goes full tilt horny on Maine, asks Lizzo to make him her purse. And that sentence would not have meant anything a year ago, and it will not mean anything in 1 year. It is so Frankie Muniz goes full tilt horny on Maine, comma, asks Lizzo to make him her purse. This is a clickbait headline about a tweet that Frankie Muniz did on Maine, on the Maine channel. He was not sliding into anyone's DMs.
Yeah.
He just wrote, hey, at Lizzo, let me be your accessory. I can be a purse. Put a chain around me and I'll hold your stuff for you. Just saying. And then that was presented to us with the beautiful sentence, Frankie Muniz goes full tilt horny on Maine, comma, ask Lizzo to make him her purse. And I've been like, I have not stopped thinking about that since I read it. And I just like, I feel like I repeat it to myself as kind of a mantra when I need to be soothed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's just beautiful.
I feel like there's just so much to break down that I'm exhausted thinking about it.
You guys want to take a little
nap? Starting with Frankie Muniz.
Who is that?
Oh, God.
The kid in the middle.
I'm thinking if Frankie Muniz was going full tilt horny in Maine and asked Lizzo to make him her purse, I think that could be a great second novel idea for our friend Linda Holmes.
Oh, sure.
I think like a story about like a coastal Maine cottage where Lizzo lives. And Frankie Muniz from Malcolm in the Middle
comes to town,
drives
into town on one of his Formula One race cars. Is that what he's
probably
doing?
Probably.
Sounds about
I'll
right.
I'll buy that. That tracks.
That sounds about right, huh? Even if it's not, you kind of believe it, you know?
Maybe it's funny trucks. Hard to say.
Sure. Funny trucks. Yes. Frankie Muniz drives around in Truckosaurus.
He drives in one of those little Shriner cars, doesn't he? He's a Shriner
The trucks are – he drives the trucks only on Sunday.
Right.
Now
yes.
Nailed.
Yeah.
God, I could just leave right now.
Yeah. Just knock over the
mic. Good. I feel good about myself.
Oh, my God.
You know, take the rest of the day off, Rob. I don't know if you have to, shoot or if you have meetings today, but fuck them.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to just have that I'm just going to chew on that over again.
Rob, go home and crank it. You earned it.
Crank it. Soak your feet. Postmates a $9 donut.
Yeah, get yourself a nice double ply box.
And soak it down.
Jug a lingonberry.
So, I mean, I personally was not
going full tilt horny on
Maine. I hope to someday go God tier horny on Maine.
Okay.
But again, that's just an aspiration. And
would
I don't
you say
know
that's kind of your grail item?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Right.
The grail piece is.
Well, I just learned what Maine was. That's what they call it?
Yeah, on the public feed. And I'm learning, and I'm kind of learning this too. I mean, I'm not as online as I once was. I feel like I'm less online these days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this thing could be old news to the listener.
I'm surprised you're less online these days because in my experience, when you're going through a tough time in your life or you have some free time on your hands, going online is a great way to feel better about yourself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm in a transitional period. It's time to feel mad and headachy before bed. That's what I love to do. Make sure I go to bed mad with a little bit of a weird headache. Maybe my hand hurts.
Yeah.
I like to
read some comments.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Before I go to bed.
Love
just jump
comment.
On in there.
Yeah.
Maybe you just search Twitter, not for people who have added you, but just search your name. You know, that always yields something good. You know?
Yeah.
What people are saying but not adding you.
Ooh, yeah. That's
insights.
Nice.
Insights.
Yeah. Peek behind the veil.
Yeah.
Sure, you got to look behind that veil. So I think Maine, you know, going horny on Maine, you know, is not, you know, you're not adding someone in their menchies.
Right.
Their mentions.
Right.
And you're not sliding into their DMs.
It's a pretty good idea that you got offline a little bit.
Yeah. it's a bad place.
Because you're like talking the lingo.
Online is, yeah.
I just learned what sliding meant.
Oh, yeah.
That was, so I think that is pretty current. Well, I don't know. I learned it. So it is probably.
From 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sliding into
God.
DMs?
I was told just the other day that Instagram. You don't call it, I always call it Grammin.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Baby. I said to my wife, you Grammin, baby?
Yeah.
You Grammin?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Grammin? She's
ooh,
like,
hey,
yeah, I'm Grammin.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby.
I'm Grammin.
You guys
Grammin, baby?
Sound like you're pretty horny on Maine.
When we talk about Instagram. Yeah. Yeah. Not full tilt.
Not full tilt.
Like, certainly not God tier.
No, we're like half tilt. But then I hear it's Insta-ing.
I think you got to say Insta.
That's so,
I think you got. You
what,
think
as a lover of language?
I do love language.
That
thank you,
must
yes.
kind of irk you a little, right?
Well, yeah, certainly. No, Grammin does have a musicality
yeah.
to it. Grammin,
an
you know.
Insta.
Yeah.
You can't put an ing after Insta.
Insta-ing.
Yeah. It's
are you
Insta-ing.
Are you doing Insta? No, you're right. It hits the ear wrong.
Yeah. Insta also doesn't recall. The Marxist philosopher Gramsci.
Sure, which I think the other way
yeah, I does. Would, I usually say,
what about
I'm,
Gramsci, guys?
I'm Gramscian is what I usually say. Yeah. It means I'm being an organic intellectual.
Mm-hmm. But I actually am not on I am not on the gram myself.
Yeah, at all?
I'm not on the gram. No, I've never done it. I kind of get conflicting reports from people as to, and I kind of use, again, of what we've been talking about. I'm like, you know, I feel like if I'm online too much, it, you know, kind of fucks with me and I feel bad. So I kind of try and minimize my onlining.
Yeah.
I mean, once in a while you see a great clickbait headline like Frankie Muniz goes full tilt horny on
Maine. Did you click on that?
I did click on it.
And it killed your computer?
Yeah, my computer exploded.
Just to throw it off a bridge?
A little bit of smoke coming out of it.
And it was shaped like a skull?
Yeah.
The smoke was shaped like a skull? And Insta does seem to, excuse me, Gram.
Sorry.
The Gram.
Whatever.
Seems to be kind of where everyone is these days.
I think it prefers to be called Gamma.
Gamma, right.
Gamma?
Because it's not a grandma. It's
like,
not old.
Yeah, yeah, like my great-grandmother.
Gam-gam.
Gam-gam.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. My gam-gam and my TikTok.
You gam-gamming? You gam-gamming, baby?
Gonna go see gam-gam and TikTok to Passover. I'm not Jewish. But I get conflicting reports.
You're not above a nice Seder.
No, I love a Seder.
Yeah,
I love a matzah.
But he does always have to mention that he's not Jewish. I mean, that was at least germane to what we were discussing. But sometimes it's just like, out of the blue, I'm not Jewish.
Hey, guys, by the way, I'm not Jewish. I think they have some lovely traditions. They're a beautiful people, the Jews.
Yeah, a rich, rich history.
A rich
not Jewish.
History, yeah.
Not mine.
But I'm not Jewish.
Not my history.
But I'm not Jewish. But yeah, I get conflicting reports. Some people say that in the grams are the kind of the good. So you know that it's photos, it's fun, it's people's kids, it's pets. Like it is the kind of positive one. But I have heard other people say that it is more bummy outy than the other social networks. And I was kind of wondering where you guys fell on that.
I have so my only Instagram account is for my menswear blog. Mm-hmm. Put this on. And
well, you also have a fake account that I've started.
Yes.
And that is negative.
Sure.
Yes. But
there is a fake Jesse Thorne account. It has a fair number of followers, and I've like reported it a bunch of times with no effect.
I have one too, and I've not cared.
And
it's I've not thought about it. I let it happen.
The fake one is just a photo of you and then a word bubble coming out that someone added that says, I love to eat poop. Duh.
Yeah. So the Put This On account, because it's for the menswear blog and the store, Put This On Shop, it is menswear centric. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only one who puts pictures into it. So we follow menswear shit. Mm-hmm. And I will say, following menswear shit, I think is something like the way that like moms I know who aren't just following other people for pictures of their children who they know are using it with the influencers and the influencer world of Instagram is horrible. It is the worst. Like on menswear, it's these, first of all, there's way too many cigars. Where are all these guys getting all these cigars?
Yeah, that seems to go just for some reason be associated with menswear.
And like, you're like, all of a sudden you're watching a web series produced by the National Review. You know what I mean?
Can I just wear a nice jacket without
exactly getting, without
cigar smoke blown
like
in
holding
my...
single malt scotch up to the light?
That seems like. Has the trend come back around to people who are like, photograph me like I was Sylvester Stallone at a Planet Hollywood opening in 1994.
That is exactly, like, these are people. So there's a few different threads of menswear Instagram type dudes, but like a significant one, what you're worried about is what you want to be following is fancy lads and pretty boys. Okay. You want these nice little, even these nice little jacket guys that are like, ooh, look at my little outfit. Like, that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what you want. But it's
look
really...
at my little outfit. I eat poop, duh.
Yeah. But the really hard thing is that as soon as you lock in on somebody, you're instantly trying to figure out whether this person also eats the poor. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, from the picture... The guy that buys a cute little jacket at the Salvation Army and dolls it up all nice may look the same as the guy who's, you know...
Who knows the difference between a yacht and a super yacht.
Exactly.
Like, you just can't tell then if these... You're looking for a little soul. You're looking for
a human being. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard and it's dangerous waters, but it's that aspirational... As soon as people are intentionally trying to create an aspirational lifestyle, which many of these people on Instagram are, that's when it gets really dicey for feeling good.
Yeah, for feeling good, meaning just like it's an empty.
Yeah, you feel bad about seeing it.
Yeah.
You also feel bad that you're not rich enough to do whatever the thing is that rich people do. You don't have a super yacht, you don't even have a regular yacht. Hell, Jordan? Confession's good for the soul. I'm just going to say this right here. I don't even have a dinghy.
Man. Jeez.
Yeah, I've never been on a party boat before.
Yeah.
I'd love to go.
Wow. Ever been on a party boat, Rob?
I don't think I have been on a party boat.
Look at us.
A booze cruise, you mean? Like
a booze cruise. Yeah. That's the kind of thing.
No,
really.
I haven't.
Have you ever had like a drink on a ferry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I've gone to this.
Sure,
I've gone
it's a long ferry ride.
Sure, yeah. You're going to want to have a little nip.
It's afternoon.
I've gone ham at the snack bar on a ferry before. That's about as close as I've gotten to a party boat.
You've gotten ham or you've gone ham?
Gotten ham.
Like a nice country spiral
slice
cut country
of ham.
Yeah, okay. They got a nice, brown sugar glaze.
But then you went ham on the ham.
Yeah, sure.
There was a honey of ham. Like
I'm talking about. Well, I don't drink, Jordan. So if you were most people going ham on a on a ferry, they're knocking back three mixed drinks in little plastic cups.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? Because they'll pour you a mixed drink on a ferry. They don't give a shit.
No, yeah. And then you usually have a pretty heavy pour.
Yeah, international waters.
Right.
But since I don't drink, there's a limited number of ways to go ham. So mostly I'm talking about buying a savory and a sweet snack plus a caffeinated beverage. So like a Coke, Nutter Butters, and a Doritos.
You should just
all at once
drink and be healthier. I think you'd feel better.
Rob, what do you do when you gram? What do you like to follow?
Do you feel
like it's good for your brain, bad for your brain?
I don't have a feeling about it one way or the other. I don't think there's value in it to the degree that a lot of people do. You know, it's decimated. Social media in general has decimated like publicity departments and studios because they're just like, well, this let's just say it works and it's free and actors can do it.
Right.
Yeah. And so we'll let them do it. And I went through a period where I wouldn't do it. I refused to do it because I tested it once and it didn't work.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think I actually talked about that on the show. But then Now I'm thinking, well, there may have been a tie. There might have been a change where there is some sort of like billboard value to whatever promotion on it. But so that aside, I finally gotten over my aversion to that. Well, like saying, hey, I'm on the show on Thursday nights.
I saw you post a picture of you with a real unicorn. I think that made a big difference.
Well, God, long story behind that unicorn.
Yeah.
Unicorns are monsters.
Oh, really?
They're not happy, magical fairy creatures.
They're the influencers of the mythical creature world.
And you only know that if you get close enough to take a picture with them.
Right.
I was surprised to hear, and I heard this just, I obviously didn't see this in your post, but I heard it kind of from the blowback around your post, that they're susceptible to human disease.
Yeah, but my position has and always will be.
Right.
Who
You're
cares?
Living with Legionnaires.
We need to rid the earth of these monsters.
Oh, wow.
And they are daring. We will suffer no ecological blowback.
Right.
Like the mosquitoes. Right. Mosquitoes and unicorns. Get rid of them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Sharks, I get.
Yeah.
Bears, I understand.
Imagine how amazing the world that we live in now could be if we replaced every single one of those horny horses with a Goggins.
Right.
If you could, as you do on your show, The Unicorn, where Goggins plays a unicorn, despite not having been born a unicorn himself, if you could replace all those corns across the nation with one little Goggins, just one little Goggins in each place.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that would be spectacular.
Like just round up all the unicorns.
Yeah.
And somehow replace them with a Goggins.
Grab the ukes.
Yeah.
Put a Gog in there and see what happens. Have him open his eyes wide.
Yeah.
It'll be striking.
And I know we're talking about the extinction of a mythical creature.
Yes.
Right.
One of my personal platform is we must protect the Kraken at all costs.
Okay. I'm not talking about the Kraken
at all costs.
Sure. Misunderstood. Kraken's misunderstood.
You're right.
That's right. Everybody, see, I'm really, all right, I'm on my soapbox.
Let's do
all right.
it. Sure.
The Kraken misunderstood.
Protect.
Because of
Kraken.
What? Clash of the Titans.
Thank you. Yes. Clash of the Titans. Yes.
Representation
the
matters.
Remake.
Yeah, when it comes to Kraken.
Hey, I mean, if you're out there and you're listening, let your representative know. Get at Kamala Harris and let her know. Protect the Kraken at all costs.
Yes.
If you're listening, hashtag protect the Kraken at all costs.
Yeah.
We need to get the word out.
I appreciate, by the way, that Buttigieg has the courage to speak out on this. And I don't know whether it's because he's a millennial. He didn't grow up watching Clash of the Titans on UHF television on Saturday afternoons.
I thought, now, I'm pro Kraken.
Yeah. Pro-crack, sure.
But I think he kind of jumped the gun a little bit.
Did I hear a butt?
No, just that it's something for a lot of America, we have to remember, you have to ease into the Kraken.
Right.
So the whole subject.
Right.
You know, it's a hornet's nest.
It's a kind of a dry box.
So, sure.
You have to ease
talk about health care.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about your plan, foreign policy. Don't lead with the Kraken.
But a leader has to lead. A leader has to lead.
But I mean, I think this is the debate that's going on in this country.
Yeah.
Do you take a more centrist, view of the Kraken? It's something we can talk about
Like
later.
We have been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Okay,
is that what your plan?
Well, when are we going to get to it? No, it's a good point.
At some point, Kraken advocates have to be willing to speak up.
Yeah, well,
can't just soft pedal with compromised positions, because what's going to happen is our opponents are simply going to say, we offer a sea serpent, they're going to co-opt that immediately.
Well, oh, God, yes.
You
it's
know,
so
I mean, I learned from Michael Moore recently that if you survey Americans about what they actually think, they want universal health care.
Mm-hmm.
They want marriage rights for everybody.
Right.
And they want to protect not only the Kraken, but the Chimera as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Phoenix gets no mention whatsoever.
No, that's true.
And maybe it's just not time.
But, I think the Phoenix is getting ready for a comeback.
he's going to rise from something. Hard to say what it is. Obscurity. The Phoenix will rise from obscurity. to become part of the national conversation.
Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
You know, every Jordan, Jesse, Go is brought to you by all of the members of Maximum Fun who go to MaximumFun.org/donate to become members. Kick a few bucks to the Max Fun Network.
We love them.
Share it among the shows they listen to, just like this one, Jordan, Jesse, Go. But, you know, we also have another supporter this week.
That's true. A loyal supporter. We're talking about the folks at ZipRecruiter.
Z to the R! Zap, zap!
Croot, croot. I think we've made up a song for them at some point, but yeah. You know what? It was probably bad. Hey, you know what? So hiring, it's a slow process. Here's a little story the folks at ZipRecruiter wanted us to share.
This is a real story.
This is a real story.
They didn't make this up.
We've confirmed this.
Yeah.
Cafe Ultura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee. Sounds like a pretty fun job.
Yeah.
Unless, you know.
Well, unless the coffee won't take direction.
That's true. So, is a lot like working with Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Hardy does what he wants.
He's going to do what he's going to do.
And so does
he's
coffee.
He's got a process.
And sometimes it's great.
Yeah, with coffee, the process is called brewing.
Right.
Yeah, or percolating.
With Tom Hardy, it's mumble yelling.
Yeah.
So here's what Dylan...
Well, and mask wearing.
And mask wearing.
Yeah.
So here's what Dylan Miskowitz did. He went to ZipRecruiter, he posted his job, and found the best person for the role in just a few days. ZipRecruiter has technology that finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job.
Jordan, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address. Don't just go to their address. Go to this one.
Yeah.
It lets them know that Jordan Jesse Go sent you. ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. Try it for free. It's the smartest way to hire.
We also have something up on the Jumbotron, a message for King George. Thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, we did a few for Queen Victoria recently.
But it's about time King George got in on the act. The message is from Sam, and here's the message. Welcome to this world. Your parents are amazing. You're today's best momentous occasion. It's
Wait,
for a baby.
This is for a fucking baby? I don't think this baby should be listening to Jordan, Jesse, Go.
I disagree. Babies should listen. Play the podcast for babies, and they'll learn to talk faster.
You're supposed to play a phonograph for babies at night.
And Jordan,
we
Jesse, Go.
That in the Democratic debate.
And then Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Yeah.
During the day.
That's fair.
JJ Go in the day, phonograph at night. Your kid's going to be gabbing by 4 months.
This really is the best Jumbotron that we've gotten in quite some time.
Absolutely.
MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron if you want to put up your own Jumbotron on this program or in any of several other Maximum Fun programs.
Sure. We love to say the Jumbotron.
I love you, KG. Show me that
hey,
little navel.
King George. Hopefully, you'll eat solid foods at some point.
Yeah. Hope you're pooping brown.
Poop that brown.
First they don't. It's weird.
Yeah, they poop other colors.
Yeah.
Babies.
Yeah. Well, MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Oh, hey, Jordan.
Yes.
30% off sale in the Put This On Shop.
All right.
JJGo30 at PutThisOnShop.com all this week and only this week. Jordan, Jesse, Go listeners only get that special discount. Making some room for the holiday Christmas stuff that's about to come in. So much great shit. A set of fucking Mexican presidential candidate pencils. Who doesn't need that?
Everyone needs it.
A giant wicker hat.
Sure. Yes, that's all equally useful.
I got that. Got some tiny hats, too.
All kinds of hats, it sounds
medium
like.
Medium-sized hats.
Like all kinds of hats.
All kinds of, you know, fucking cufflinks and shit. Anyway, put this on shop.com and use the code JJGO30 for 30% off anything in the entire fucking store. Why? Because I love you. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, patron of the arts.
Jordan Morse, not a Jew.
Rob Corddry, everyone's exotic pet.
God bless you.
Everyone's.
God bless you.
If you're listening. You want it or not.
I went to
you all have a ferret.
I went to the theater, Jordan.
Oh.
Yeah. I went to the Pasadena Playhouse.
No, I went to the Pasadena Playhouse recently, too.
What would you...
I did not go, and I did not care for it.
Okay. Before you went
I will not go to the Pasadena Playhouse.
What's amazing about the Pasadena Playhouse, or was amazing to me, and it might just be a function of being in Los Angeles... is that when you hear Pasadena Playhouse, the Pasadena Playhouse has existed for 100 years,
yeah.
But you think that you're going to go see a local production of A Christmas Carol, basically. Like,
sure.
That's what you're anticipating from the... And I went to this, I went to see Little Shop of Horrors there.
Oh, nice.
And, like, I was like, I had mentioned it to my daughter, and played her some songs from Little Shop of Horrors. Like, maybe this is something we could share together going to this. She's kind of interested in musical theater right now and like songs from movies and stuff like that.
So reinterpretations of Roger Corman movies.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an interest of hers.
Yeah.
And what could they do with Bucket of Blood?
Yeah. So she got really into it, and then I went and looked at how much it cost to go to it. Three figures.
Wow.
Yeah.
To see a little shop.
Like $100 or something to sit in the balcony. And I was like, fuck, I think I've backed myself into a corner where I have to do this now because I like introduced, I should have looked at the price tag before I, and I was like, fuck, I'm going to be paying $100 and I'm going to see a fucking, you know, I'm going to see a local production of A Christmas Carol, but it's Little Shop of Horrors. Then I looked at the website. I'm like, oh, wait, this guy originated, like the guy who played Seymour originated the fucking Book of Mormon or something. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is great.
Oh, wow.
Every single person
you got the
in
guy,
it.
Maybe you got the guy who played Jay Peterman from Seinfeld playing the dentist.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was like serious heavy-duty prose. Mm-hmm. No sad bullshit casting. Everybody singing their fucking ass off. Incredible singing. Like, better than the Broadway soundtrack singing. And I went to the fucking theater. But the problem with it is, now that I'm a patron of the arts, I was like, that was such a good experience. I feel like I should go back to the theater. But
and now we're talking another $300-$400 bills.
Had to spend $200 to go once.
Yeah.
And also, snacks are $5, by the way. Can of Coke is $5.
And you had to get a t-shirt.
Yeah, you got to get a t-shirt.
You got to get a concert tee.
Yeah, sure.
Now I'm scared that I'm a patron of the arts. And the other thing is, I don't know how you feel about going to see live theater, Jordan.
At the Pasadena Playhouse, I saw a very nice non-musical play. I think it was called Good Boys. Same name as the junior high romp comedy that came out recently. This was a very intense drama play based on a real instance of assault. yes.
Oh.
Also produced by Seth Rogen.
Sure. Yeah. The guy can do it
it's
all.
Out there.
I gotta start smoking weed.
Yeah. You gotta smoke.
He's so busy.
Then you can get versatile. You know, you can really expand your mind, expand your horizons. Yeah. Maybe I don't just do stoner comedies. Maybe I also do.
He does ceramics.
Oh yeah, he makes a lot of ashtrays.
Really does.
He makes a lot of ashtrays.
Anyway.
Yeah, check out the Seth Rogen's Instagram. A lot of ashtrays on there. Somebody showed me that recently.
It's true.
A lot of fun. Anyway, I liked it. Got a nice, inexpensive Sunday matinee ticket. Brought in my own banana.
Oh, wow.
I ate a banana.
You fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's right.
You fucking...
Jordy M. brings his own nanner.
The fear that I have, like, deep-seated in my chest, it comes from, because I went to arts high school, we were always the first to get tickets to things. So I went to a lot of live theater when I was a teen. And there's nothing better than a great theatrical production. But for me personally, absolutely nothing worse than an anything less than great theatrical. Like, the shame and discomfort I feel at watching even a B-plus theater performance.
Anger.
Just confusion, distress, worry. And it's not like I'm not angry at the people.
Jesse.
I'm angry at the situation that we've all been
placed
in.
I'll get angry at the people.
But be better.
Not ashamed of that.
Yeah. Sounds like your blood sugar's just low. Bring in your own nanner.
Should have brought in
you
a nanner.
You should have brought in a bunch of nanners.
Should have brought in
They don't
a
care. They don't give
nanner.
A fuck if you bring your own nanner.
I guess they don't, right? I mean, it's just a nanner.
It's just a nanner, man. Nanner.
Now, we don't sell nanners here. We Maybe he's on nanners. A special diet.
Yeah, he needs a nanner. He's on a monkey diet.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm bringing this nanner in.
I got it. I'm going to flip the fuck
I'm
out.
I'm on a nanner diet. I got to. You know, you've heard about that.
Hey,
Mario Lopez is on it.
Intermittent nannering.
Hey, I went ahead and got a Sunday matinee ticket. I got it right here. If you see a nanner, I'm just on a monkey diet. It's not anything.
It's not a big
it's
deal.
It's just not something we have to get into a pickle over.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and let me in and admit the nanner as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nanner does not. I've checked your FAQ. A nanner does not require an individual ticket.
Yeah. I can guarantee you. This does not make a sound when I unwrap it.
This is going to be a lap nanner, so I only got one ticket.
If someone were to slip and fall on this hill, it'd be a humorous situation.
Wait, in this world, you're worried that they're going to make you buy a seat for the nanner.
Yeah.
Right.
A nanner seat.
Yeah. I just went ahead and got myself a Sunday afternoon matinee ticket. It was a bargain, and I'm looking forward to an afternoon of entertainment. But the truth is, I only bought the one ticket, and I'm going to have to bring in this nanner. it's a dietary issue. I have a note from my I've got a note from my doctor, and this nanner's going to stay with me. The nanner's not going anywhere.
Wait, no. Why are we doing the Sam Elliott voice? Yeah.
There's an open, quick question. If there was,
I don't know.
It sounds, I can tell you why.
Why?
It sounds better when you say nanner.
It does sound better when you say nanner.
Can I ask you boys a question real quick?
When teach you go, Patrick Swayze how when to you be go, a bouncer.
When you go to the theater,
yeah.
A quick question. If there's an open seat, you can put your nanner there, can't you?
Ain't nobody.
Well,
can't
sure.
you go ahead and put that nanner right there?
Absolutely you can. That's your right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Goddamn right. It's in the fucking Constitution.
This is America.
Forefathers died. So
you'll
you
get
can
my
put that nanner wherever you want.
You'll get my nanner when you pry it from my cold dead seat.
And but hey, careful.
Yeah.
Careful.
Yeah.
Because you're taking a risk.
Right.
That the lights are going to go down.
Right.
Someone's going to be late and come and sit on your nanner.
Oh, darn
it. I don't know if you've ever tried to eat a sat on nanner.
I know about sat nans.
Yeah, no good.
No good.
No good.
When something momentous happens to you, like you're admitted to the theater with your nanner, they don't ask mm-hmm. you for an extra ticket because it's a lap nanner. It's under 2 years old.
Yeah. You get a little vest for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I only eat
an emotional
nanners,
support.
So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mine are all at least 10 years old.
Like a so, fine scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Is an emotional support nanner. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
a little vest for it.
I got a letter from my cousin. He's a podiatrist.
Says I can bring this nanner wherever I please.
Oh, God damn it. I forgot my nanner.
Oh.
Wait. Geez.
Is that Elvis getting ready for a concert?
Oh.
Oh, God damn.
Oh, God damn.
Oh, forgot my nanner.
Colonel.
Colonel.
I got bad news. I can't go on.
Oh.
Forgot my nanner.
Oh.
Well,
somebody,
I got peanut
somebody,
butter, Elvis.
Somebody,
oh,
somebody
that's only half the equation.
Somebody get the Jordanaires in here. Maybe they got some nanners. Okay, when something momentous happens to you, we ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN. For our segment, Momentous Occasions, you can also email us a voice memo at jjgo@maximumfun.org. What are we looking at these days, Brian, about 50-50?
Do people do more phone messages or more voice memos? What are the kids doing?
Where's this sitting at?
We had for a while. It was people were emailing in. They've done less of that lately.
Get it together, people! It's got nice fidelity.
Yeah,
speak past the microphone, not into the microphone.
Yeah, sure, right.
Past the microphone.
Yeah.
Oh,
you don't want to pop your plosives.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's. Take
you
our
just
first
taught
call.
Me how yeah. to
how to
speak in a microphone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's take our next call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and guests. This is Emily in Pasadena, and I just helped a hummingbird escape my kitchen. I was watching it struggle and trying to get it out with a broom, and then I remembered that Jesse mentioned on one of his episodes that his wife had this great strategy for getting him out, so I found a big cup, like a keg cup. I cut the little bird in it, and then I held it with my hand to take it outside, and it just sat there in my palm for like 30 seconds trying to catch its little breath, and then it flew away. That's all. Thank you.
Fucking rules.
First of all, very condescending to describe its breath as little breath.
Little breath. Me,
you know.
Me.
Yeah, maybe this tiny bird had BBE, big breath energy. Yeah,
sure. It's a big hummingbird for its, you know, maybe other hummingbirds would say he's got big breath. Anyway, and that just struck me as,
and it
like,
can be,
really,
I mean,
annoying.
And it's not just about how big the breath is. It has to be how wide it is, too. Mm. That makes a difference.
Yeah, the girth of
tall
the breath.
Girth
tall
of breath. The breath.
And is the bird good at cunnilingus, too? Yeah.
I would imagine if you're going to pick any bird to be good at cunnilingus, I'm going to go hummingbird. Because they're always sip, sip, sipping.
That's true. Oh, boy, have you ever performed cunnilingus before?
Yeah, you stick your beak in and you get to sipping.
And you just get to sipping?
Yeah.
The way you say it makes it sound really sexy.
It
I feel like I've been doing it wrong.
Yeah, you got to sip.
Wow. Get your beak in there and you start sip, sip, sipping, Bobby C.
Baby, what are you doing right now? Gramming?
Gramming? I got to get to sipping.
You want to do cunnilingus?
You might be getting there. It's not like a finch. Those are for cracking nuts. Those beaks?
Yeah, sure. You wouldn't want that beak near that sensitive area.
No, you don't want to. You don't want to treat the most beautiful part of a person's body like it was so many seeds and nuts.
There's no beakless birds. This is the dead end question.
Right. Yes, that's true.
It's a dead end.
There's nowhere to go.
Maybe there's a bird with a plush beak.
It's a fucking dead end, man.
Is there a bird with a plush beak? Oh.
You know what
about Big Bird?
That's now true. We're talking.
Yeah, you know that dude loves the munchbox.
Oh, shit.
num, num.
Sure.
So fucking hard right now.
Yeah. And Snuffleupagus loves to eat ass, right? He's a millennial. He loves this, that millennial Snuffleupagus.
He only became real in like 1983, so he's,
yes.
That makes him a millennial.
It works. You know what I always think is funny? Bird in the mall. When there's a bird who gets caught in the mall, I always have a nice laugh. It's fun. It looks like he's at the mall just doing mall shit. It's very funny.
Funnier than bird in an airport?
I also like bird at the airport a lot because it looks like they're going on a little vacation.
Yeah.
But I think bird at the mall is slightly funnier. But this
I thought they were returning. Isn't that weird?
Right. Yeah. They're like, oh, boy, I had a long business trip. Got to go home and perform cunnilingus on the wife.
Love to stack up those Radisson points.
Yeah, sure. Ah, what the hell? I've been good. I'll have a Cinnabon.
But it is fun either way.
Yeah.
Bird in building.
Bird in building.
Not bird in.
Oh, shit. I got to get my kids a present. You guys have any worms?
That's what they bring their kids
small
back.
Small worms.
Shitty gift shop. It's just like LA Clippers on the worms. Yeah. These aren't real worms.
I'll get them a copy of this James Patterson novel and then regurgitate some of my chilies too into their mouth. That's what a bird does at the airport.
Yeah.
But and then I'm glad. But I think bird at the house is a little more of a bummer because it probably needs your help to get out.
Right.
Scary. It's scary. Scary because you're like, this is probably going to die.
It's my responsibility.
Throw a towel on it. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Throw a towel on it?
Oh, I don't know.
Wrap it up in
I've
the
never
towel
had a bird
and
in the house.
No. I had a bat. I had a bat in my cabin once.
You had a cabin bat?
Cabin
How'd
bat.
You deal with that?
Oh, it's a bat. My parents would camp with us sometimes. This was in Boy Scouts, right? And they had a lot of the adults would come, and so I was with the older kids, right? The cool kids, in Boy Scouts. We were down at the Ben Dan Lew cabin, right? Camp Child, Plymouth, Mass. I don't have to tell you guys what.
No,
I don't
you don't,
have to describe
baby.
It to you.
No,
you
don't. We all know
Ben Dan Lew,
And there was a bat in there. I just happened to have brought down my mother's broom to the cabin to do a little sweeping.
Sure.
Just because it was because
you were a chill kid.
I like my environment to be organized that way. Right. I feel like my brain is organized.
Right.
So I finished sweeping that night. There was the bat in there, and Mario Ranieri.
Oh boy.
Is this gonna be another classic Ranieri?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this is a classic. This is the classic Ranieri story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mario Ranieri takes the broom and kills the bat with it.
Oh,
now,
shit.
I mean, kills that, like, smashes
Mario.
The bat. Bat smash. Bat
that's
smash.
Something. That's not what I would expect from Mario. I'd expect that from Wario.
But when
sure,
it's happening,
yes.
When it's happening, you're like, yeah, this is Mario.
Maybe
yeah. This is the real Mario.
Wow. The real Mario comes out.
So yeah. We said things like, boy, you really got him, Mario, or hey, thanks, Mario, and boy, you really smashed that bat, Mario, and other things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's when my mother started to hate Mario Ranieri.
Because mm-hmm.
She broke his... her broom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it didn't take a lot with my
on
mother.
The
to
bat.
Be fair to Mario, you know, I don't know.
Maybe the broom needed replacing. Is that
it
what
was
you're
an
saying?
Old
it
broom.
It was an older broom.
But
it's
it was
integrity.
A family broom. You know what I mean? It was the
sure.
Family broom.
Right.
So,
it came over on the Mayflower.
I'm not going to say I wasn't a little bummed out.
Right. I get that. I mean, you wanted to give the broom to your kids someday.
Yeah.
So that now, they could smash bats.
Now, I can't even picture the broom. I don't even have a picture in my head.
That's
I don't blame Mario.
No.
I blame the bat community. And
wow.
While we're at it, I would like them all eradicated.
Okay. To be clear.
Especially vampire bats.
Yeah.
I blame Wario.
Sure.
You what? Blame
Wario.
Wario?
Yeah. Mario's evil brother.
Because maybe that was he was influencing Mario.
Yeah, I think he really all Mario really wants to do is plumb.
I like Mario. So I like that. I would like to believe in that theory.
Which is a moment of weakness where I don't think Wario's his brother.
Really?
No. I think
so
he's
it's just
another.
Coincidence
I think he's
that
another.
They have said similar names.
It's just a like. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, brothers don't have similar first names.
But I mean, yeah, sometimes they
sometimes
do.
Sometimes they have
what
the
about
exact
all of,
same
like,
name.
I figured it was like a George Foreman situation.
Oh, sure. Where
they were naming, where they had a bunch of kids and they ran out of name ideas, so they just gave them similar but slightly different names.
You know, it's
like
funny.
George,
now,
Georgina, Georgette. Mm-hmm.
His two sisters were Shario and Lario.
Yeah.
So I think you've...
Yeah.
That's probably
and
it.
His
He's
dad
probably
was
a brother.
George Foreman.
And it's... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. George Foreman had a lot of families. Everybody
yeah.
knows that.
I don't know if we
this
know...
This is a white Italian family
yeah.
in Weymouth, Massachusetts.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know if we know from Mario lore who his parents are.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, Mario Sr.
Oh, right. Yes, sure.
I would like to see that
and
George
his wife,
Foreman.
Luigi Sr.
Yes, excellent. Exactly right.
George Foreman was such a committed playboy, like so committed to his playboy, you know, millionaire athlete lifestyle uh-huh. that he had adopted secret families. Like secret
Aww.
Families where the children weren't his biologically.
That's nice.
It was just he felt like they needed a man in their lives to enter and disappear at almost random intervals and, you know, and really fuck up their mom's heads.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's pretty, you know, you never think about that. So he's sort of almost rescuing these families,
mm-hmm.
these George Foreman-less families.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know that what? You're lacking a George Foreman.
That's true, yeah.
Until you want to get the fat off of a chicken thigh.
Right,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. Without cooking outdoors.
Oh, amen, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you, George.
Brian, we have another call in there?
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Rob from New Hampshire, and I'm calling in with two small momentous occasions and one pretty big moment of shame. I was... recently went to Planned Parenthood to get tested for herpes. And momentous occasion one, I don't have herpes. But while I was there...
Can you pause it for a second?
Yeah.
The one word you never want to hear at the Planned Parenthood is that but,
well, good news and bad news.
Yeah. You really want a full set of good
yeah.
news when you're at the Planned yeah. Parenthood.
Also, if you think you have herpes, you have herpes.
You got it.
Yeah.
Well, there's, you
anyway.
Know.
Yeah. Seems like you probably do.
Brian, you want to continue?
My blood pressure, and it was so high that they sent me to the emergency room. Which, that is the pretty big moment of shame.
Not the herpes.
But I'm on medication, and I am fine now. But the other momentous occasion is they took my weight, and I was 50 pounds lighter than I thought I was. So that's good.
First of all,
yes,
I just want to say, wide error bar. on the self-reporting the weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Probably get in touch with your body, though.
Sure.
Yeah, get in touch with what's going on. If you have dangerously high blood pressure and you're not sure what you weigh within 50 pounds, that's a good time to just do a self-assessment.
Yeah.
You know, get in the shower, check your breasts
for lumps. Your breasts every, because you are, you live a high-risk lifestyle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it sounds on, you know, a lot of stuff is going right here.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, again, being lighter than you thought you were, that's good news. And
right?
Also, I think we can infer that this person, sexually active.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we all aspire to that.
I think the problem is, this guy was, what was it, big deal horny?
Full tilt horny?
Yeah. This guy was going full tilt horny at Planned Parenthood, and he had to deal with that situation and the consequences of that situation, including elevated blood pressure.
Right. Whew. And this all happened on Maine.
Yeah.
On Maine.
On the Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Blood pressure is a sticky subject for me. I'm convinced I have normal blood pressure. I have a home monitor.
Uh-huh. Really?
Mm-hmm. So I.
What does that apparatus look like?
Well, it's like a little box
a single
with a cuff
probe
coming out of it.
Okay,
about eight inches.
It looks like these things like these back massagers.
Oh, sure, yeah,
a big knob on the end of it.
Okay, mm-hmm.
And what you do is this is going to sound crazy.
Okay,
right.
But you know that space, right between your asshole.
Yes, sure.
You know that. Yeah.
I do. I know it well. Unlike our caller, I'm very in touch with my
Apparently,
body.
Apparently, I get a really accurate reading if I go to town on my butthole.
No, yeah. I mean, that's, and I think we encourage everybody out there to, you know, just go to town on your butthole.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We do now. We do now.
Okay,
we do
good,
now.
Good. Yeah, I don't remember that in the past.
As of now.
Okay.
That's our new policy.
Yeah, we recently acquired the license to Our Bodies Ourselves for podcast.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So one of the principles of that, there's the two main things are put a mirror under your junk, and the second thing is go to town on your butthole.
Yeah, and of course, protect the Kraken at all costs.
I've had an option on the joy of sex for the longest time. I should let it.
No, you got to do something with that. It's IP, man.
I mean,
valuable.
I was
going to
do a whole. I was going to write a movie called Sauces and Pickles, based on chapter the best chapter of joy of sex.
What would you say is the most? Do you think there is a box who does boffo box office that you could cast in the lead of this film? Because I think if you get the right box and the right jam, this thing could be a hit.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, we're not at that stage.
You're going to need a box office.
Yeah, you're
box,
still like, you got to get the story down. Story
no,
first.
No, story's everything.
Yeah, story's
story,
everything.
Story, story,
and we
story.
Don't story. Yes.
Rob,
story.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Would you say that at the end of the day, we're all storytellers?
I'd say all throughout the day.
Well, yeah, that's all we do.
Beginning of the day.
Well,
like, except
can
the, like,
I say,
late afternoon, we're not storytellers.
I need my coffee first, okay?
That's what I'll start telling stories. And then I'll start telling stories.
You just said a mouthful. For sure.
mouthful of
coffee.
It's hot brown, am I right?
Pumpkin spice season.
Yeah.
Have you thought about, if we in this scenario have the license to Our Bodies Ourselves, and you have the license to Joy of Sex.
I know where you're going, and the answer is yes.
70s educational book shared universe.
Yes.
We'll do separate movies. They'll meet.
Yes, exactly.
Brian, has your option on Free to Be You and Me lapsed yet?
Nice.
Sounds like we got a suicide squad going.
I mean, this could be very
big. This could be a suicide squad.
Could be very big. I think Hodgman has Book of Lists, so we're good to go.
This is great.
Oh, that son of a bitch. That's who got it.
We are good to go. G to G.
Suicide squad. Suicide Squad.
Okay. Yeah, if something momentous happens to you, email it to us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. Just open up that voice memo. You know, folks got that voice memo app.
Neither of them are using the voice memo.
No, they're calling on landlines.
But you know what? There's a voice memo app right there on your phone. You know it, of course, because that's where you record your song ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you record your musings during the day. That one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You say, you know, chapter 4.
Yeah.
The Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so think of it. Do that same process you would do to say chapter 4, The Reckoning, which, by the way, is That's one of the middle acts of the screenplay I'm working on, the Suicide Squad.
The Reckoning.
What, act 4 or 5?
There's a Reckoning, yeah.
Ooh, love that. Love that.
Yeah, you got to have a tight 8-act structure.
Yeah.
I've taken some screenwriting courses.
Yeah, you're sure. Talking to, listen. Yeah.
Okay. The old tight, we all know about the tight 8.
I know my way around a structure.
Chapter 5 is the Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the story is, you could be talking about.
Chapter 5. Like, you have chapters within the acts.
Yes,
of course.
Well, yeah. It's
Act 4, Chapter 3.
Is divided up into 5 chapters.
The acts don't map exactly onto the chapters, why I said Chapter 5 is.
Exactly.
So it's not that each act has multiple chapters within it. So it's not like Act 4, Chapter 5. It's Chapter 5 overall, but that's around Act 6.
And it could fall in between Act 5 and 6. Like, it could be the transition. Right.
It depends what kind of story you're telling, whether it's Die Hard or when we found out Snuffleupagus could be seen by the other characters on Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he's eating ass. Yeah. Damn right you can see him when he's eating ass, right?
Snuffy could really get up in there.
Sure.
If he needed to.
He loves it.
Give him something to work with.
Yeah.
Very sex positive.
So I think we do this.
Do you want to tell people about your workshop? Like, when are you, you're at the Hilton, the old Hilton down by the airport, right?
I'm at the old Hilton down by the airport.
Do not go to the new Hilton. No. You will be disappointed.
Go to the old Hilton.
A lot of folks naturally gravitate towards the conference center there. Which is a beautiful. Yeah. I've been to conferences there. It's a beautiful place. We're actually going to be at the empty swimming pool.
Mm. Oh, great!
So if you see a swimming pool, check if there's water in there. If there's water in there, that's
wrong
for
pool.
The guests' use.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The event will be taking place in the empty swimming pool. The main reason that is I've got Dogtown and Z-Boys coming down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they're going to do a few of their famous tricks.
Why did you choose to do it at 4 a.m?
I wanted to – well, they have – I'm a little concerned about what I like to call the surveillance state.
Oh. Yep. Enough said. Yeah. Absolutely.
Sure. Mark Zuckerberg getting wind of this.
It's also, if I'm frank, Rob,
mm-hmm.
it's very expensive to book primetime Dogtown and Z-Boys.
Oh, wait, really? You got like top tier?
So they're very busy at certain hours of the day, you know, 5 to 6 p.m. Well, that's the dinner. That's the dinner prep hour. They're working on their mise en place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But later on or earlier on, depending on, you know, how you use a clock.
Mm-hmm.
Different people do it different ways.
I'm so glad you said that. Avoid a lot of confusion.
They're a little more easy to book because 4 a.m. is typically a sort of time for reflection for Dogtown and Z-Boys.
Mm-hmm.
The 6 of them, let's say.
That's smart. Well, you've got it figured out. And you're serving a cool lunch.
Yeah, so there's going to be a nice lunch.
Or cold.
It's going to be a nice, cool lunch. We're going to have ham, spiral ham.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It's baked country ham with a nice brown sugar glaze.
Yeah.
So.
Everything you expect.
Come on down to the old Hilton near the airport. I want to be clear, Ontario Airport. Ontario,
yes.
California.
Oh, my gosh. Did I not say Ontario Airport?
You got to say Ontario.
Oh, I just said the airport.
People are going to go to Bob Hope.
Well, I always think of that, Ontario, as the airport.
Right, sure. That's where we all go. You make a little stop by the outlet malls on your way home. It's a fun day.
Exactly.
My biggest concern is that people will put in Bob Hope and their GPS will take them somewhere else entirely because it's now called the Hollywood Burbank Airport.
Is it not called the Bob Hope Airport anymore?
It's called the Hollywood Burbank. Wow. Bob Hope's on the outs in Burbank.
No, it's not.
What?
It's always going to be called Bob Hope.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Rob.
Now, thank you, Rob.
So what you said is wrong.
Our guest, truth teller,
thank
Bobby
you.
C.
Yep.
Robert Cordry. Okay, mm-hmm. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a podcast that we do as we are married. And how's the ad going so far? Because I think it's going very good.
We talk about things we like every week on Wednesdays.
One time Rachel talked about pumpernickel bread. It was so tight. You cannot afford to miss her talking about this sweet brown bread.
We also talk about music and poems and, you know, weather.
There was one...
Weather?
One time Rachel talked about Baby Beluga, this song, for like 14 minutes. And it just really blew my hair back.
So check us out on MaximumFun.org.
It's a cool podcast with chill vibes. Amber is the color of our energy, is what all the iTunes reviews say.
They will now.
La, 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 la. Hey, everyone. It's John Roderick from the Friendly Fire Podcast, here with Adam Pranica and Ben Harrison.
When was the last time you really liked watching a war film?
With Friendly Fire, you get to do it with us.
Yeah. You don't even necessarily have to have seen the movie to get a lot out of an episode of Friendly Fire.
In many cases, we would recommend that you not watch the movie because there are some really, really bad war movies. But a bad war movie makes a great war movie podcast.
And in all cases, we recommend you listen to our show. So subscribe and download to Friendly Fire wherever you get your podcasts.
To the victor, go the spoiler alerts.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rough Corddry, exotic pet, everyone's.
Whether you like it or not.
Sorry.
Buy him some crickets to eat.
I will eat you.
I like to think of Rob Corddry in the context of the Babar. Well, first of all, yes.
I just like to think of him. It's fun to think about him in his many entertaining roles. And,
agree,
of course, appearances on this program.
Agree.
I think of him in the context of the Babar universe
as
sort of our Wooly Wooly.
God, you know? I wish I knew. I know Babar.
I wish I could picture
from the book Babar and the Wooly Wooly.
It's an exotic pet, but the thing is...
Guess I'm going to have to return to the text.
You, of course, know... Live in the word. Rattax is the Rhino King. He comes and steals the Wooly Wooly because he wants the Wooly Wooly to love him, but he doesn't treat the Wooly Wooly kindly. He doesn't treat the Wooly Wooly kindly.
Sounds fucking boring shit. Sounds like a boring real kids book.
It's really cool. It's European.
Yeah, they know how to write.
Probably better then. It's probably better.
It's like the Petit Prince. Fucking God, asshole. It makes no sense.
I'm on the moon or Mars, and I'm sad, and then it's over.
Here's a clunky metaphor for something.
Sure.
Fuck off.
Wouldn't this have made sense in the 20s?
Yeah, so they're not going to get it right.
Fuck.
Was Corduroy the Bear? That was good old American.
Corduroy is an American bear who lost a button on his overalls.
That's how you write a damn story.
Classic 8-act structure.
Yes. Yes.
Don't get me started on Tintin.
God, I love the I love the reckoning in Corduroy.
And, of course, Man versus Machine.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A classic Suicide Squad.
Robert Corddry.
Yay.
He's the star, the sole star of television's The Unicorn.
Yep. That's right.
This is on what I call the Tiffany Network, correct?
The Tiffany Network?
Which
one? I was talking while you were talking.
Charlie Business Services.
Yes, Charlie Business Services. That's right.
On the CBS Network, also starring the great Michaela Watkins.
Oh, God damn.
I was telling Robert before the show, I watched the first episode of The Unicorn, and Michaela Watkins gets the biggest laughs in the entire episode without saying any words, just miming some stuff to Rob.
Yes.
It is really, really funny.
If you like that, it is a well we return to.
Yeah, good.
Rest on your laurels.
The gift that keeps giving.
Ah, good.
It's a fun program. Walton Goggins brings a welcome intensity to the world of the network family sitcom.
Yep, same teeth, same eyes,
a real
but
edge,
a heart of gold.
Mm. Yeah, a warm heart and a shiv behind his back.
You never know. Season two,
little ketamine in a pouch.
Yeah.
Rob, I guess my main question about the program is, what's it like to work with a real actor?
Yeah.
Like,
no, that is a legit question.
Like a fucking actor ass actor.
It's a legit question and it's amazing. Like, he is a legit, when it's a comedy scene and we're just talking, like, they'll say cut and we chat in between, you know, it's cool. But man, if he's got to get somewhere.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, we don't shy away from a little heart.
Yeah.
There's some heart in the show. He is on a path. He's on a mission, and it's a great energy. You know what I mean? You would think it would be kind of an alienating energy, but it's like, first of all, he's just He's always like wanting, like inspiring the crew. Like, come on, guys, we can all do this. Like, wow. This is wait. Hold on. Background. He's always talking to the background. Guys, this is what we need. This is a really intense scene. This is a big scene. We need you guys to say yay when he says woo. Okay.
Wow.
Whatever. Like, he's very.
That's
he's
act four, by
the
way.
Cares so much, mm-hmm. and he's. I don't think that. I don't even know if I could really do justice to how good an actor he is, but you're except to say that you're correct. Yeah. I've worked with other like one or two other real actors, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sammy Rockwell. Yeah,
Sam you know Rockwell? he's probably the most famous graduate of my high school.
Oh yeah,
except that he did not graduate from my high school, and as far as I can tell, maybe only just like hung out there a lot.
He don't need that.
I
shit.
I can't tell.
Yes, he doesn't.
I
need
can't
that
figure
shit.
Out what Who his. Cares? He was in Outward Bound at some point.
Yeah,
that tracks.
Probably.
That tracks.
Probably.
Some point he was on a canoe taking a math class.
yeah, our buddy Helen Hong from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You'll catch her on the Unicorn.
Yeah. A lot of heat on this program.
She's very funny.
Sure.
On the table read, at least. That's
yeah.
what I see.
Well, I mean, that's when you know. When yeah. the table read goes well. Well yeah,
I saw the
know.
Spark at the table read. And I said, I knew it.
Classic Hong Spark. That's
she's
Act
got
7,
it.
By
yeah.
the way.
Our buddy Gina Ippolito, who was on a Jesse-less episode a few weeks back, is a writer on that show. So
yes.
we're going unicorn crazy here on Jordan Jesse Go.
This is like a companion to Unicorn.
Oh, maybe yes. we should just
and I'm going to say that
pivot
definitively
and pivot in this. Is this just a unicorn recap show
do
now?
Yes,
you should please do that. You guys would be the best.
Please get CBS to pay us.
Yeah,
because we will flip the format. We do not. We first of all, we don't have a format.
There's no format. By
so
the way.
It would only help us.
Yeah. Previously, there was no reason to listen to this show. It would give people some reason to mm-hmm. listen to this show. I don't know who wants. A sitcom recap show, but if
people do.
Anyone
a,
wants
a Good
it.
Place podcast. There's like an Office revamp mm-hmm. pod or like an Office revisit podcast. People
yeah,
love them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Twin Peaks. There's tons of them. When
sure.
that was
probably my favorite sitcom.
Yeah. My favorite sitcom as well.
Yeah.
So funny this last season.
Just we'll do
yeah,
like
so
favorite
funny.
Jokes, predictions for next week.
Yeah.
Maybe some fan casting, fan mm-hmm. theories. We'll go into Reddit, see what they're talking about.
Yeah. Interviews then, with Rob Corddry, Helen Hong.
Sure.
Yeah. Get Chucky Business on the phone from Charles right. Business Services.
And then maybe just to cover all our bases, because maybe just people will see Unicorn Podcast. We'll talk about what happened on this week's Unicorn, and then the back half of the show is how to find a bisexual to fuck you and your wife.
Yeah, you should still call it Jordan Jesse Go.
There's three.
Yes, don't change the
don't
ever
don't change the name. The
There's
name.
Three primary
this.
Definitions of unicorn. On the CBS yes. show The Unicorn, yeah. mm-hmm. a unicorn mm-hmm. is a good guy mm-hmm. who's entering middle age yeah. but is single because he lost his wife, not because he's a bad guy who caused a divorce or right. is a creep or whatever.
Yes.
That's why that's the one. Second is a bisexual who will mm-hmm. fuck you and your wife. And third is a goat with a horn glued to its head
right.
in Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus around 1987.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say. 1987? Mm-hmm.
Really?
About right.
A creature that needs to be yeah. eradicated.
Yeah.
They were still trying to
yeah.
slide
that
past.
It was a fake unicorn in 1987. I had the huh. poster for it. Went to it with my dad.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
My dad
I did,
the
too. It wasn't it a goat with just a deformed
might have
horn?
Been a goat with only one horn instead of two horns.
It was like two horns, but they were kind of twisted. It was like a kind of gross, like, oh, this yeah. poor goat.
I wish we had a producer on this show.
Wish we had a format. Let's talk about the unicorn again.
Okay.
Anyway.
Watch Rob Corddry's show, The Unicorn, so that Rob Corddry can keep working and
yep.
Visiting
I spend a
us
lot of money.
Jordan,
I, live a fast, I live a fast lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Need you to watch it.
This guy's going to the theater every fucking week.
I don't
wow.
care. I'm dropping hundreds. All,
yep.
I got a whole bag of nanners.
This guy's not sitting behind a pole.
No.
He's paying
good
for
nanners.
The seats that are not obstructed.
That's right. That's
let's keep Rob in an unobstructed view seat.
Mm-hmm. And my nanners make a noise.
Mm. Yeah, the sound of my nanners coming out its home.
Brian Sunny D. Fernandez is our producer on the program. You can find us on Reddit, MaximumFun.reddit.com. You can hashtag it on Twitter, hashtag JJGo. We're on Twitter at Jordan_Morris and at Jesse Thorne. Rob Corddry is on Twitter, but what are you? Are you? You're not Rob Corddry on Twitter, right?
Yeah,
you are. You just
I got
Rob
in
Corddry?
Early. I got on the ground floor.
Nice.
Yeah. But on Instagram, it's like Rob_ I think Corddry.
Yeah,
I really don't know.
Yeah, Rob, probably just look for Rob Corddry over
there. Yeah, whatever.
He's from
follow the fake one too.
From
it's
fucking television's The Unicorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're on Facebook. Like us there, and we love you all very much. And we'll talk to you
That's
in the
true.
Future. Good night.
That is true.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.